My name's Glenn. I'm one of the leaders here at the church. So who got breakfast cooked for them this morning? Three people. Wow. Woo. I got breakfast this morning. Not breakfast in bed, because that's just feral. Who does that? But I got eggs, salmon, coffee, and a side of spinach, mushrooms, and cherry tomatoes. No bread. It was good. But I do have to confess that I don't really believe in Father's Day. It's it might be my marketing mindset, or it could just be the fact that I'm one of the most cynical people you'll ever meet. But I don't really believe in Father's Day or Valentine's Day or anything like that because of the sort of commercial side of it. But honestly, for a cooked breakfast, I'll believe in anything. So Father's Day is a day where we stop and we think, I guess, about a dad's life. It's, you know, everybody's sort of doing it. And I came across a video, a church in America. They had their Father's Day service and they put this video together. Have you got that video ready? Yep. They put this video together, I guess, for their Father's Day service to kick it off. And in their music video, they think that they've captured what a dad's life is all about. So I thought we could start it with ours, and if we all agree, I don't have to talk.
This is dad life. It's how we live 24/7, 365. Check me. Gas station glasses, don't care what the masses think about me with my sweet goatee. I'm rocking my Dockers with a cuff and a crease. I got that St. John's Bay and the clip for my piece. I look nice, I got dozens of dollars and that's right. It goes straight to my daughters and my wife. I'm a miracle dad, making magic with the checkbook is the talent I have. I roll hard in the yard with a 60-inch cut. Zero turn radius, my neighbors say, what? They be driving by, peeping my landscape. Yo, these greens got nothing on my manscape. Hydrangeas, begonias, crepe myrtles,
ornamental turtles.
Hold up, is that a weed in my fescue? Oh, nah, Roundup to the rescue.
It's the dad life, it's the dad life. Take my daughter to the party, it's the dad life. It's the dad life, it's the dad life. Shooting vids of the kids, it's the dad life. Roll up to the splash pad, 10 a.m. My whole entourage hops out the minivan. We splishy splashy for an hour or two, then it's back to the house, yeah. Prepping for the barbecue.
Brats, dogs, racker ribs, whatever. Get me on the Weber, man, nobody does it better. Call me Lord of the Grill, I'm king of the coals. Nana's secret recipe, you know how I roll.
1080p, 16x9, I'm rocking man cave status with a screen like mine. Keep your peanut butter hands off my 50-inch Vizio. Pop up the corn, roll the Disney video.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
We got Aladdin, Jasmine, Abu, the genie. Hey. With kids like mine, everybody wants to be me.
Sing the nightlight song and then it's off to bed.
This is the dad life, no more to be said.
It's the dad life, hey. It's the dad life. Hit the mall, coaching ball, it's the dad life. It's the dad life, hey. It's the dad life. Oh. Playing rough, fixing stuff, it's the dad life. It's the dad life, it's the dad life. Yeah, you know how we do it, it's the dad life.
Alrighty, so we got the dad's life all sorted then. If laughter has any vote of confidence, there wasn't a lot of confidence in that video. Except for maybe Dave Burr. Knowing that I had to come up with some advice or some tools or some tips for dads this morning, Julia sent me through, forwarded me an email from the parenting place. Obviously, didn't have a lot of confidence in my own mindset. The email that comes through from the parenting place, it was titled 17 Things We Love About Being a Dad. And in this email, there was this 17 things why being a dad is the most wonderful experience on earth. And it's got those lovely clip art looking sort of images of these dads with full heads of hair and immaculately groomed, smiling children just sitting there perfectly poised for the photos. But to be honest, from my perspective, the clip art world of the Parenting Place emails doesn't quite capture what being a dad looks like to me. Don't get me wrong, I love being a dad, but it isn't quite like that. To be honest, being a dad is tough. It's hard. It has the highest of highs, and it has some of the lowest of lows. And my oldest daughter has only just turned 9. So apparently it only gets easier. If I had to draw an analogy, I would say being a dad is like being in traffic. It's the sort of thing that you never actually get the better of the situation. Just when you think you've got things sorted out and you know what lane to be in when, everything changes. You can wake up like at the crack of dawn, hours and hours before you really want to or you think you have to try and get the better of it. But all it takes is just a little bit of rain or just this tiny little incident, and your whole life grounds to a halt. You're not in control. You may think that you're in charge, but the trouble is everyone else on that road, driving the way that they drive, they think they are in charge. All you can do is manage your emotions and your expectations. So how do we make the most in this tide of uncertainty? I came to the conclusion a long time ago that I have absolutely no idea on how to be a great dad. I don't really have much of a plan on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or an annual basis. There's no great 5-year strategy to develop a great family from my end. But what I do have is I do have a purpose. And my purpose is simply this for my children. Through my love for them, I want to give my kids a glimpse of how much Jesus loves them. That's my purpose. Through my love for them, I want to give them a glimpse of how much Jesus loves them. And for some reason, in raising my children, there has just been three sort of truths or three tools that have instinctively passed on to them. I haven't given it much thought or much preparation. It is just stuff that has happened that has kind of seeped into our daily life, our daily conversations, and the things that we do. So I'm mindful right now that some of you in here might not be a parent or might not have had parents. You might have been genetically engineered or something. So you might have switched off. But let me tell you these three things, these three tools or three truths, they're actually things that I wish I would have. The reason I think they've passed on is because they're instinctively inside of me as being important, because I know they're things that I wish I would have understood better as a kid. I wish I would have understood better as a teenager. There are things I wish I would have understood better as a young adult. And there's still things right now that I wish I understood more fully, more completely, and understood better. So I think, if you're into having a happy and full life, this you might be able to get something out of these three things anyway. And like I said, these three tools have sort of become a part of our daily diet. So they're things we just talk about. They're things we sing about. They're things. When I start the sentence that my kids will finish it off for me, and normally roll their eyes doing it because they know what's coming, and we've said it a million times before. So what are these three tools? The first tool that I want my kids to have is a sense of identity. I want my kids to know that they're absolutely awesome. If I say to Nate, "Nate, you know you're awesome, eh?" Nate will roll his eyes and he'll go, "Yes, Dad." And I'll say, "Why are you awesome?" And he'll say, "Because God made me awesome." Growing up, I was a pretty insecure kid. I never really feeling that confident about myself or that assured about myself. As a teenager, I remember having a deal with my friend who was born on the same day that we would kill ourselves on our birthday, which sounds a lot more gruesome than it is, but it wasn't a good sign. The weird thing was that I wasn't an overly depressed or sad teenager. I wasn't kid that was down and out. I don't need to tell you that I was obviously a good-looking teenager, sporty, popular, great personality, all those things. But for some reason, whatever reason it was, I just did not think I was awesome. I had no sense of value. And my life has changed, but I don't think the world has overly changed too much. I was reading about a recent study out of Auckland University. They say that 30% of girls now will, teenage girls now will self-harm. So they will cut themselves or hurt themselves in some way. That's 30%. And 18% of boys will do that. Last year in New Zealand, we had 500 teenagers take their life, which is probably three times the amount of people in this room gone because these kids just thought that their life was completely worthless. The reality is being being alone or feeling that you're worthless, it's a really, really scary place. And here's the truth. Those of us in this room who are not teenagers, which is pretty much most of us, we know that that feeling doesn't stop when you turn 20. Those same statistics that were released recently, I don't know if you read this, but they found the highest rate of suicide in the population of New Zealand was amongst men aged over 85 years. So this feeling of worthlessness, it can creep in and take over our lives. And what I can honestly say is that getting to know God and getting to know that God knew me radically changed my life. And it changed the way that I saw myself and it changed the way that I saw the world. Now I want my kids to have that same knowledge and peace and comfort and hope. I want them to have that same sense of identity. I want them to know that they are awesome simply because God made them awesome. I was reading about the most expensive painting that was ever bought. And it was from a series of paintings by the French post-impressionist Paul Cézanne. And it was five paintings in a series, I think called the Card Player series. There was five paintings, and they all varied in size and the way that they were put together, depicting the players playing a set of cards, a hand of cards. Can anyone guess how much one of those paintings sold for? What do you think? It's a big number. $1 million. So one of the paintings sold for over $250 million. Now, what I know is that painting does not deserve that value. It does not look like $250 million. It does not sound like $250 million. It doesn't taste like $250 million. It doesn't smell like $250 million. It doesn't play rugby like $250 million. It's worth $250 million because of who made it and the story of its creation. It's worth $250 million because of its creator. It's awesome because its creator made it awesome. I am hiring someone at work at the moment. You do the normal thing. You put the adverts in the paper and you have 10,000 applicants and stuff like that. And you get down to the interview stage. One of the questions I had was, what has been the highlight of your career to one of the candidates? And the highlight of their career is they had organized, they were in event management, organizing events, and they had organized an event that had been attended by Prince Charles. This is in London or wherever he lives. And this was the highlight of her career. And I said, why was it the highlight of her career? And she said, because it's such an important event. And I got to meet Prince Charles. And I was thinking, it's not... She doesn't even know Prince Charles. She just got to meet Prince Charles. And how much awesome would she feel if she knew Prince Charles? Well, how much even more awesome would she feel if Prince Charles knew her? And I want my kids to know that they are awesome because God knows them intimately. He knows how they work. He knows how they think. He knows how they breathe. He knows how they feel. He knows every hair on their head. He obviously loves them more than he loves their dad then. He has counted every tear that they've cried. He's felt every fear that they've had, every pain that they've experienced. God knows all about it. Jesus knows them intimately. And it's because he made them, and he made them awesome. And it's because he knows them. These are the things which make my kids absolutely awesome. I want them to have a sense of identity. I want them to have a sense of courage. Another thing that I'll say to them, which they do not like, is I will say to them, if you're shy, and they'll say to me, you'll miss out. If you're shy, you'll miss out. I talked about this, I guess, about a month ago when I spoke about Ruth? Was that Ruth? Wives and fishes? Thanks. One person. So I spoke about loaves and fishes, and I don't need to remind you of the story. It's just an incredible story of Jesus turning up to teach at a place and a huge crowd gathers. Probably 20 to 25,000 people are there, and time is passing by, and the crowd gets hungry, and Jesus is looking for someone who's got some food. And what happens is this little boy amongst this huge, huge crowd comes forward in the crowd, and he gives his tiny little lunch. And I had just, when I was looking at the story, it just sort of jumped out at me that the courage that this little boy must have had that day. Now, we don't know if that boy was an introvert or an extrovert. We don't know if he was shy. We don't know much about him. What we do know is no matter what his personality was like, what we do know is that boy had to have and display incredible courage that day to make that happen, to make that miracle happen. And there are two reasons why this is important for my kids to have courage. The first thing is I don't want my kids to miss out on all that God has for them. I don't want that for them. I don't want them to miss out on the fullness and abundance of life that comes with just being strong and courageous and making a difference in this world. I want them to have those things. And the second thing is, I don't want my world to miss out on what my kids have. Because I know my kids have so much to offer this broken down world. I know that they can and will go on to make a difference. And if they're shy, they will miss out. And if they're shy, the world will miss out on what they have to offer. So the second tool I want to pass on to my kids is I want them to have a sense of courage. The third and final tool is I want my kids to know what love is. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? I want my kids to know what love is. If I say to my kids, Daddy loves you, they'll say to me, but not as much as Jesus. If I say to them, Daddy loves you, they'll say, but not as much as Jesus. To be honest with you, it kind of does scare me how much I love my kids. Just last night, you pick the day, something would happen to Nathan. But this last night, Nathan was sitting on the back of a couch, and he fell off the back, and I was in another room, and you just hear the thud. You know it's Nathan, and then the screaming happens, and it's just, oh my gosh, that horrible sinking feeling in your gut, where you know your kids, something happens to your kid, and it does make you feel vulnerable. Nathan this week has been making a Father's Day card at school, and he's been so excited about this Father's Day card. He's been, giving me. Nathan, how was your day? And every day he's like, oh, it was great, Dad, but I can't tell you about it. I just can't tell you about it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's been making the card all week, and he wanted to give me the card on Friday because, it's the last day of school. We'd finished making the card. Julia wanted him to wait till Sunday, but he could not wait till Sunday. So on Friday he gives me his card. It's Father's Day card, which is like 7 pages. It is 7 pages of card, and he's got like You know, here is my handprint when I was 6 years old in room four at Alfriston School. My dad is really good at coaching my rugby team surfing. He's obviously heard me telling the stories. He hasn't seen me living the dream. Cooking, running. Man, I'm starting to think I'm cool at this point. They drew a picture of my dad. He's even got hair on his head. This kid's living in La La Land. Oh, sorry, the front of the card. Happy Father's Day 2013 with love from Nathan. He's got a dad. I love you because you do fun stuff with me. You care for me. You cuddle me a lot. You buy stuff for me. You make me happy. You love me a lot, Nathan. The best thing. This is BTW, by the way. Best card I've ever got. It makes me feel the most special. This is the page that does it, though. This is the kicker, right? He's got dad, and he's trying to, what are they called? Similes? Metaphors? Whatever they are. I love you more than, and he's got to write in the different things. He goes, four things to try and describe how much he loves me. Number four, I love you more than pizza. Boom. I love you more than school. I love you more than chocolate, and he loves chocolate a lot. Number one reason, I love you more than myself. I love you more than myself. I was talking to my dad about it yesterday at Nathan's rugby. And, for a six-year-old to say that, I was talking to my dad, and my dad's like, how does a six-year-old even know what that could possibly mean? I said to Nathan, what does that mean? Nathan's like, I love you more than me. How could a six-year-old possibly comprehend that sort of love? And then it dawned on me, he can understand that from me. He actually knows how much I love him because he loves me in that same way. He's experienced that love so he can pass that love on and pass that love back. This is my purpose, to try and show him this kind of love, a love that would love another more than would love himself. But even though times like that and moments like that make me think I'm doing a reasonably good job as a dad and reminds me how much I love them, I do know this, that Jesus loves them even more. I've had a song that I've sung to my kids, each one of them, before bed. Obviously, we sung it a lot to the first one, but as second and third, you kind of have less time for them. But they get the message eventually. I wasn't going to sing it to you this morning, but I thought I'd write it sort of as a sort of story, and I'd read it to you. So, have we got the first one up there, the first page? So the first page. Yep. Okay. So I got the kids to illustrate it for us. This is kind of like our family kind of story that we all know, and we all know the words off by heart. I love you in the morning. I love you in the night. I love you all the time. You're my absolute delight. Daddy loves you. The next page. I love your little eyes. I love your little nose. I love all of you from your head to your toes. Daddy loves you. I love your little smile. Your laugh makes my day. I love you is all I can say. Daddy loves you. Even when you cry, it's Kyson's one. Even when you cry or you make a big, big mess, Daddy looks at you and he must confess, Daddy loves you. I'll stand on a mountain and I'll say it with a roar, that Daddy loves you, but Jesus loves you even more. Jesus loves you. Here's the thing. Despite the fact that I am an awesome dad, and I would do anything for my kids, and I love them to the moon and back, the reality is that I will stuff up. I'll fail them. I'll do things wrong. I will be selfish. I will make mistakes. I will not be there for them when they need me one day. one day I simply will not be able to be there for my children. I will be somewhere else. My love is finite. My love is flawed. But I want them to know this, that no matter what they do or I do, there is a love far greater than mine. And here's the kicker for us. This is where we all get something out of it. That same love is available for all of us. Just like he promises to do for my kids, no matter what time of day it is, his love surpasses all time. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter what we have done or what we have not done. Through laughter and tears, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you even more than you could possibly imagine. Jesus loves you. Alrighty, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that it is so amazing. Lord, we huddle together every week. We go through our daily lives. We talk to others. We think about it a lot. We think that we understand, but then we realize that we barely comprehend how much your love for us is. Lord, I pray that you'd remind each and every one of us this week how much you love us. Lord, that love would change us, and Lord, that we would be people that would be able to pass on that love to others. God, we thank you for our children. We thank you that we are a church that has so many beautiful and vibrant and lovely children in it. Lord, we pray that we would be a church family that would love them. Lord, that we would be a church family that would love them so much that they would get a glimpse of how much Jesus loves them. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Alrighty, that's us for today.